John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I want to speak to you today on this Mother's Day on devoted mothers. God bless you. Please be seated mercifully. Get to sit down for a while. There's a beautiful photo op in the lobby in the foyer, and I hope that if you are a mom, someone has made you feel very special today. And if not, it's not because we didn't remind everyone about the importance of this very special day. Mother's Day is such an amazing day. And I always try to be mindful on special days like Mother's Day and Father's Day. But not everyone had a godly, devoted mom. Some of you, like me, have had your mom go on to be with the Lord. But we live in a broken world, and broken people sometimes not raising their families as they should. We also know there's many ladies who are part of our church family who would love to be a mom, but you're not. And we do not judge you or want to make you feel awkward on a day like today. But I've learned that if we want the church to be better, families to be stronger, people to be what God created us to be, you have to talk about it. You talk about Christianity and fatherhood and motherhood to help us be better. So today, it's a glorious day to honor the daughters of Eve, who is called the mother of all living. I want to just give you a little background of my family. I honor my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, Sarah Ruth Johns, that we call Nana, the matriarch of our family. My dad's mom, who raised two boys by herself, Thelma Haskins Johns. My amazing mom, who lived with us for a while, and what an incredible godly mother she was. We've already honored my wife, but I honor my precious wife, who's an amazing wife, mom, grandmother, and pastor's wife, and I thank God for her and for her mom. I thank God for her mom, Virginia Strom, who raised she and Craig in the Lord, so thank God for them. And you probably know, but we have three amazing daughters-in-law, Alonda, Teresa, Kinsey, in the order. They joined our family, and eight grandchildren, and one on the way, tiebreaker to be. And I've already named this child because they seem to be struggling with the name for him. And then my sister, who growing up was such a godly young lady and amazing mother. So a Mother's Day is really big. And as a dad, I'm going to tell you that Father's Day is not as big in the church world. Mother's Day is like the second largest attended Sunday of the church year. Father's Day falls way down the list. It's summer. We have excuses, but it's just the way it is. Mothers are super valuable in every way. They have those 24/7 jobs, no days off, no vacation time, no sick pay, no salary. But if you paid her, she would be worth something like between $145,000 and $178,000 a year if you tried to replace the 98 hours plus that she works every week. So people tend to love their moms. They put their mom's name, and, you know, I love my mom when they tattoo. We don't tattoo, you know, but they put it on there. $34 billion is spent this week on moms. $34 billion, and she's worth every penny. I know you spent most of that on your mom alone. Thank you for loving her that much. I learned years ago, and I've done some deep research this week, that there are some gifts that you should not give your mother, your wife or your mother. You should not give her cleaning supplies for Mother's Day. You should not give her weight loss products. You should not give her self-help books. And unless she asks for them, you should not give her cooking appliances. I mean, nothing says I love you like a new toaster. You know what I'm saying? According to good housekeeping, that authority on the home, they said you should focus on buying mom gifts that she would not buy herself. So I was thinking about what would my wife not buy herself. And I thought she would probably not buy herself a shotgun or a rifle. And I really feel that it's something she would not buy for herself, but she really wants and needs. I would be shot at sunrise if that's what I bought my wife. So I know it's too late. You probably already bought the toaster, but next year you're going to do better, okay? Make sure you dote on your mother and you treat her right. And the Bible gives us some amazing examples of mothers. The Proverbs 31 woman, whether she's one real lady or a composite of all the best of many mothers, the Bible says that even though the sun is not up, she is, way before dawn, getting breakfast for her household, and she's planning a day's work. I'm reading from the New Living Translation some scriptures from Proverbs 31. She's a virtuous woman, and I think the greatest gift a mother can give her children is to love her husband. Now, sometimes a home does not have a husband, but if yours does, the greatest gift you can give your children is a healthy marriage. The Bible said her husband safely trusts her all the days of her life. She's also a very resourceful woman. She tries to find ways to make her house better. She gets flax and wool. This is back in the day when she made this stuff herself. She gets up really early, does all those things that I mentioned early about fixing breakfast, and she makes linen and garment sashes, and she sells and buys. She's very resourceful like that. She's diligent and a hard worker. The Bible said that she's strong. She buys a field. Inside that field, she plants a vineyard. So she's a keeper at home, but she is also a businesswoman. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She tries to make her business dealings profitable. And the Bible says she works late into the night, spinning thread with her hands. She watches everything in her household. She pays attention to what is going on. And I can tell you that in our marriage, raising three sons, that my wife was so sensitive and aware to them. Even things that I might be oblivious about, she was very vigilant and watchful about raising our boys. The Bible said she's a wise planner. She doesn't fear winter because she's already thinking ahead that her kids are going to have warm clothes. She's compassionate and generous. She extends a helping hand to the poor. She opens her arms wide to the needy, the Proverbs 31 woman. She has strength and dignity, and when she opens her mouth, not foolishness or gossip, but the Bible said her words are wise and she gives instruction with kindness. That's a good thing to go together, instruction with kindness. And then Proverbs 31 says that she is a woman who fears the Lord, undergirding everything she is from her devotion to her husband, her children, and the industries of her life. Under all of that is she fears the Lord, and she is greatly to be praised. When the sun sets, she is not sitting down. She is still working into the night, making sure that everything is good for her family. Now, this woman has been a source of inspiration and maybe a little bit of guilt for moms for ages, thousands of years. And if you don't measure up to this woman, there's certainly this ideal to strive for. But what I love about this woman, because of the way she lives, she doesn't ask for it, but Proverbs 31:28 says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I thought it was pretty awesome earlier today that when Brother Joel mentioned moms, that spontaneously we begin to stand and applaud the amazing moms in our lives and in our church. Would you take a moment to just applaud them one more time and say, Mom, I love you. I thank God for you. You're amazing. One of the things I know about moms is that sometimes they feel like they don't measure up. They're not doing well. But I want to pause to tell you today that just by day after day doing your best to be godly and to be a good wife and mom, you are making an eternal difference in the lives of your children. So please be encouraged today that you're making a difference and it pays off if you just stay with it. Amen. Now, among all the devoted women in the Bible, and I gave some one-liners in the article that was released about a month ago for all the moms, and I wrote about this. I gave some biblical examples and practical, more contemporary traits of good, godly, devoted moms. But I think if I was going to pick a mom, at least for this Mother's Day, that really exemplifies motherhood, I'm going to go with Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, I'm not sure you can get any better than that. She brings her firstborn son, God in flesh, into the world. But they're in a place where there's no room in the inn. It's Bethlehem. There's a census and taxation. And so they're just stuck in this little town of Bethlehem with no place to stay. But without the dignity of the Ritz-Carlton, Mary brings forth the Son of God in a barn. She wraps him in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, indicating the clothing of a poor woman and a poor baby. She lays him in a feed trough, a manger. But with all of that, God in the highest comes to earth in the lowest, and Mary makes the best of her lowly circumstances and gives dignity to this moment. And even though we only have a verse or two to describe this abject poverty and the lowly circumstances of the birth of Jesus Christ, you have to say that Mary did not feel like this was beneath her. She made the best of this moment and brings her son, her firstborn son, into the world. When Jesus is 8 days old, Mary and her husband Joseph bring Jesus into the temple. They circumcise him according to the law. And when he is 40 days old, they bring him to be dedicated. Simeon comes in, takes him up in his arms, and blesses Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. This is a very devout family. Church for them is not in the periphery of their lives. They follow the letter of the Old Testament law, circumcision, dedication, annual trips to the temple to worship God. They want their kids to know. Later, Mary and Joseph will have more kids. Mary, 4 more boys, 2 more girls. At least their names of the boys are in the Bible and mentions his sisters. So we know there's at least 2. Mary and Joseph have their family, and they raise them to be devout. Now, here's what I want to tell you about families. That religion is not hit or miss. It is not an add-on in your life. It is a center of your life. And we know that Jesus is God in flesh. But God chose a devoted woman and a man to raise these kids and to raise Jesus to be godly and spiritual. 12 years old. Now, these are the silent years. And we get one glimpse into Jesus growing up. He's a middle schooler, 12 years old. And Mary and Joseph go with their family in a caravan of people back to Jerusalem like they did every year to celebrate. And after they finish worshiping there, they're on their way back home. And, you know, it's a tight-knit family and family group and friends. And after a day or so, it dawns on them that they've lost Jesus, which is a terrible thing to do. I mean, this is God in flesh, and you've lost him. So they start looking around, and he's not in the company, and they go back to Jerusalem. They find Jesus sitting with the theologians, asking them questions, answering their questions, blowing their minds. He tells his mom and dad, I must be about my father's business. I have a feeling that Mary took him by the ear and said, but right now, you're coming home with me. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. That was a momentary inspiration. Not even in the first service, so it must be just for you. And the Bible said that he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus, a teenager, didn't rebel against his parents. He submitted himself to him, even though he was God in flesh. So Mary, I'm sure, is proud. Luke 2:52 tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. She watches her boy grow up, and she's involved in his life, extremely devoted, but very proud that he is growing up just the way you want a kid to grow up, physically, mentally, relationally, and spiritually. Jesus has the entire package. Mary is a devoted mother. Somewhere along the line, it appears that Joseph passed away. He's not mentioned during the years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is now initiating his ministry, and the family, his disciples and Mary, they're involved separately in a wedding at Cana of Galilee. And when they get there, Jesus and the disciples and Mary, they run out of wine. And Mary goes to Jesus and she says to him, son, Jesus, they have no wine. Now, she doesn't tell him what to do. Like every mom, every wife I know, she is a master at hinting. She doesn't just come right out and tell you, can I get a man who's brave enough to give me a witness? Amen? Just kind of hint. You're supposed to figure it out, guess. And if you really love her, you'll know what she's feeling and meaning, what she doesn't say, what she's saying. She doesn't tell him what to do, but she does. Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour's not yet come. And Mary goes to the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She knows that he's going to take the hint. And it is at the marriage of the Cana of Galilee that Jesus performs his first miracle. And like a lot of moms, when they probably should not be offering advice to their 30-year-old son, she does. And like a good son, he listens to his heavenly father and his earthly mother and performs his very first miracle. Now Mary, you don't see a lot of this, but Mary is watching the ministry of her son. And like a mom, I learned, you know, years ago, we were in Miami where my parents lived, and we're with her, and my mom, I was general youth president at the time, and my mom was reminding me of this and telling me about that, and like, mom, I'm the general youth president. I will remember, you know, to do whatever it was she was telling me to do. But mom doesn't think about that. She doesn't really care. She wants to make sure that she, you know, you're doing right. So I just had this memory pop in my mind about my mother and Mary. So Jesus is in a house teaching, and Mary is worried. His half-brothers are worried that he's gotten too deep into this ministry thing. He's not taking care of himself. He's not living a balanced life. And so Mary and his half-brothers go to this house and they try to get Jesus to come out. And the disciples that are there said, hey, your mom and your brothers are outside the house and they want to talk to you. Now, when you put all this together and you study this, it's like Mary was worried that he had gone off the deep end a little bit. Now, Jesus doesn't have 70 years of ministry. He has 3.5 years to get done what God sent him to do. But Mary is kind of calling him out of the house, getting involved. She was a helicopter mom before they had helicopters. And Jesus says, you know, who's my mother and my brothers, but you that follow me and continue in my word. But that's Mary. She's a devoted mom. She can't push a button and not love him. She can't push a button and let him go. But she's deeply engaged and prayerful. I mean, she brought him into the world, and she follows him all through his life, all through his ministry, even to the end. Now, our text today records one of two instances in the book of John that speak of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the synoptic gospels, write a lot about him, about Mary. But John tells about the wedding of Cana of Galilee when he performs the first miracle. And then the only other reference is this reference of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's our text today, John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Now, we kind of depicted this in a way that didn't really look so gory. But imagine Mary. This is your boy. You followed him, raised him. And now you're helplessly standing there. He is hanging on a cross. His hands and feet are pierced. There's blood streaming down his face. His back has been ripped open by the lash of the whip. He's despised and rejected of men. His visage is so marred that he's unrecognizable. And there, she watches her 33-year-old son hanging, dying. Devoted mother, I would say. From the cradle to the cross, Mary has never shirked her responsibilities, never walked away, even when it was painful. I remember that what Luke wrote about this, Simeon prophesied it. He talks about Jesus. This is when Jesus is 40 days old being dedicated. But then Simeon says to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the hearts of many shall be revealed." Mary shares the sufferings of her son. Like a good mother, she feels every pain he ever had all his life, but she never walks away from her commitment to her son, even when he is hanging on the cross. There's a moment here now that I want to say to everybody who has a mom, that Jesus, the Son of God, paying the price with his blood for the sins of the world, he does not abandon his mother as she is standing there. Everything that could be on his divine mind, he looks down at his mother, and from the cross, he says, "Woman, behold your son." And standing by Mary is John Zebedee, John the beloved, probably the closest earthly friend of Jesus Christ. And he says, "John, behold your mother. Disciple, behold your mother." And from that hour, Mary went home with John, and he became a son to her, and Mary became like a mother to him. With all the things that Jesus would have had on his mind, on the cross, he took care of his mother. So I'm going to pause in my message for mothers to tell you that you need to take care and honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. And with everything that Jesus came to do, relationships matter to him. Father, son, mother, children made a big deal in his life, and he took care of his mom with his dying breaths. I wondered, where's James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Where's the girls? But Jesus trusted John and put his mom into her care. From the cradle to the cross, devoted mother. Not just devoted to her son in his humanity, but devoted to the purpose of God. Before he was born, when the Lord appeared to her through the angel and spoke of her becoming the mother of our Lord. "I don't know how this is going to happen," she said. "I'm a virgin." But then when God explained the plan, she was submitted to the Lord. "Be it unto me, even according to thy word." Completely submitted to the Lord. You can ascertain from the Bible that Mary was there at the cross. She knew of the empty tomb, the 40 days that he was alive. No doubt Mary spoke with her glorified son. And then when it came time for him to ascend into heaven, Mary was evidently numbered among the many people that were there. And she watched her son ascend up into glory, the payoff of all a life of being a devoted mother. And the reason I know she was there is that the Bible finds her among the people that went back from the ascension to Jerusalem in Acts 1 and 12. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is a Sabbath day's journey. Devoted mother. And then the Bible tells us something that's pretty insightful. You know, I'm amazed by the things the Bible does not say. And I'm equally amazed by the things the Bible does say. Nothing is accidental. Everything is intentional. Acts 1 and 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They've come from the ascension back to Jerusalem, and now they're coming into an upper room. And we have a list of who was there: Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, not Judas Iscariot, he's not there. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And his half-brothers, they're also there. Now why in all the 1,100 plus chapters of the Bible would God make sure that we knew that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there with the 120 or so people that were praying and waiting for the gift of the Holy Ghost? They're people that make Mary this perfect person, the perpetual virginity of Mary, which is not taught in the Bible, this very special woman. She is highly favored of the Lord. But guess what? Mary is a sinner without salvation. Mary could birth Jesus Christ, but Mary needed the new birth to be saved. So she is there. That's right. She's there in the upper room. 10 days or so, she's praying and waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost. You might be a really good mom. You might be a wonderful person. But unless you repent of your sins and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can be a really good person like Mary. But Mary went all the way to the place of knowing, I might have had Jesus in my womb, but I need him in my heart. I need Christ in me if I'm going to have the hope of glory. So Mary is there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all, everybody I just named, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all the disciples. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave her the utterance. And in that moment, everything Jesus came to do, everything Mary went through, it paid off when Mary was born again with the power of the Holy Ghost. So I just want to tell you today that you may be a devoted mother, but I pray that God would pour out his Spirit and equip us and enable us with the power of his Spirit today. Amen. Let's thank the Lord that the example she set is for every one of us. Amen. It is to you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Now, Mother's Day is a very special day. And I've learned that Mother's Day could be one of those days that we all have, you know, a picture and all of the niceties when we have families. But as I prepared for this, after I wrote my article, I felt like, you know, I need to follow the story of Mary, not just from the cradle to the cross, but I need to follow her story to Pentecost. I don't know who's here today without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this wonderful woman set an example for us that no matter how good you are, you need to be saved. No matter how bad you are, you can be saved. This gift is for you today, and what better day of the year to be saved and filled with His Spirit than Mother's Day 2025. So let's bow our heads and pray. And if you have sin in your life unconfessed, would you pray today that the Lord would forgive you of your sins? And if you're forgiven and redeemed today, would you pray with me for someone who is lost without God, that the Lord would let salvation come to them today? Lord God, I thank you for the power of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the price that you paid for me on the cross. Lord, for the knowledge that there is no one righteous, not one, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your marvelous, devoted mother taught us, Lord, that no one is so good that they do not need salvation. And I pray today, Lord, that while you're strengthening us and instructing us, today, Lord, I'm reaching for someone who needs your power in their life to go on, Lord. So I repent for every one of us today and ask you to forgive me of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, every unkind word and attitude and thought, every action, every word, Lord, that is not godly, that violates your word and your holy nature. I pray that you would forgive it right now. I pray for men and women who are struggling with addictions today, that you would give them faith that if they will turn from their sins, that you will not just forgive them, but you will give them power to overcome everything that has pulled them down and held them back, that is undermining their family and destroying their future. I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would let the power of the Holy Spirit flow in this room, that you would let hope spring in the heart of a person, Lord, that is struggling, God, and they've tried to just make it on their own, Lord, but no one can do this without your power. So I pray that today, Lord, you would let the gift of the Holy Spirit be given to us today in Jesus' name. Would you worship the Lord right now, right where you're sitting? Lift your heart to the Lord. Lift your voice to the Lord. Amen. 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 I love you, Lord. Amen. I said it a while ago, but you're not too good that you don't need this. But you're not so bad that you can't receive this. God wants to do something good for you today. He loves you. And on Mother's Day, He wants to remind you how much He loves you.